So if you've got your Bibles, open up to Matthew 5. If you're new here today, again, my name is JT. I'm the pastor here. Actually, I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the typical teaching pastor. And if you're new and we haven't met before, I would love to meet you. I'm always curious how people ended up here. So if you're new today, man, come find me after the service. If you don't have a Bible or you forgot one today and you'd like one, Matt's in the back, Cornelius is in the back. Somebody would be more than happy to jump up and grab you one. So if you don't have a Bible today, because we're going to spend some time in the Word, or you don't own a Bible, just raise your hand and somebody will bring you one. And if you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give that to you. All right, so if you've been with us, we're right in the middle of a 7-week series we're calling Rhythms. And we're going to start week 3 this week. And basically the whole point of this series is we need to discover what stirs our affections for Christ. And then live in those things every single day, right? Find what drives us to have affection for Christ, and then learn how to walk in those things in the everyday rhythm of our lives. That's why we're calling this series Rhythm. Because in the long run, church, we can do a lot of church stuff. We can love Tom Watkins, and we can love people here, and we can pray, and we can read our Bible. But if we don't have our affections stirred for God, if he's not transforming us like at a soul, at a spirit level, then all of that's just stuff. Right? It doesn't really matter. We're just church people kind of doing the dumbest hobby in the world if it's not for Jesus Christ, right? So we have to have our affections stirred for him. And so we talked about in week 1 a very important word, a word that kind of drives this whole thing, and that word is worship. Now, we've got to learn to worship God. And so a lot of us think of, like, when we think of the worship team, like, that's worship. Like, that's a part of worshiping, right? And so we think of Sunday morning. Some of us think of Sunday morning as worshiping God. But, man, we got to learn how to worship God in everything. In everything we do, look to give God glory and look to worship him. Like, in the highs of life, we need to worship him. In the lows of life, we need to learn to worship him. And honestly, we need to learn to worship God in, like, in the mundane. Like, the everyday things of life, looking to worship and thank God for who he is and give him glory and all those things. And that's what this is kind of about. And we're going to really dive into that next week. And so Jesus, we saw that Jesus kind of tells us how we're supposed to worship. Jesus said that God is seeking people. And we talked about that the first week. We didn't seek God out. He sought us out. He extended his grace to us. And then we do or don't accept that grace that is extended to us. But God sought us out. And then Jesus says we're supposed to worship in spirit and truth. Right, that when you become a believer, we talk about this again and again, but we got to wrap our minds around this, right? Jesus didn't just die for your sins, which he did, but he gave you his righteousness. He gave you his holiness. And that is why the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. When we talk about the God living inside of you, it's because Jesus has made you holy, because God can't be around things that aren't holy, right? He has to be separate. But because of Jesus Christ, God lives in you. And so we worship God spirit to spirit. Right? It's because of that we have the intimate, we have the close relationship with God. We worship him spirit to spirit. And that's where our radical transformation comes from. Nothing else. Right? Our spirit being stirred by God's spirit that lives inside of us. And that main way we communicate with God through that is prayer. Like, that is the driving force of our faith, prayer. We're going to get into that, right? But that comes from spirit to spirit. That's what leads to the radical transformation in our lives. But we also worship in truth. Right? The truth of who God is, the truth of his character, the truth of what he's done, the truth of his glory, and the truth of who we are in him. That's why we'll sing songs like we talk about, all about who God is. We want to have songs that talk about who God is, but we also have songs that talk about our relationship to him, how we respond to him. Because it's about who God is and who we are in him, and we need to bring the truth of that together. And where do we find that truth of who we are as Christians? Where's that truth found? Scripture, right? And so last week we talked, like, there's other places to find truth, isn't there? Like, you listen to a good song that stirs your affections for Christ. You read a good book that can stir your affections to Christ. And the example that I used, I think, in week 1, which I happened to do last night, is sitting down with my friends and family that I love and having a table full of sushi. Man, that makes me want to worship God. I'm not kidding. Right? And if you've been with us, that's a heavenly thing. That's what heaven's going to be like. It's my wife's birthday tomorrow. Don't say anything to her. It'll embarrass her. But, like, last night, we went to her birthday dinner. We went to her birthday dinner, and I just had a bunch of good friends around, and, man, it was so good, and it stirred my affections for Christ. I thank God for that on the way home. I thank God when we were praying with those people before we ate, it wasn't just that typical, hey, let's pray before we eat. Man, I was worshiping God in that moment because it was such a good day and such a good night. And then last week, we talked about, with God's word, how it's so important for the truth of Scripture, because that's the root of it all, right? We find truth other places, but it's Scripture that's the root, that we have to have it implanted in our hearts. And if you weren't here last week, please go back and listen to the podcast. We have to have it implanted into our hearts, because, you know, in that moment when you feel sinful or you feel weak or you feel overwhelmed or whatever else, I mean, if you don't have God's Word rooted inside of you, man, it's not there for God to use spirit to spirit. Right? God will still stir in your heart, but He will speak truth to you again and again and again if you have His Word implanted into you. You don't have to listen to how you feel. You can listen to who God actually is, who He promises He is, and who you are in Him. So that's how we bring spirit and truth together. That's what Jesus is talking about. Spirit to spirit with a relationship with God, the truth of His Word and who He is, and we bring those things together, and that will change you. That will change this church. That'll change this city. But we have to be committed to God's Word. We have to be committed to the truth. You know what happened last week? I preached on the Word of God. For the first 20 minutes, I preached nothing but the Word of God. I didn't embellish it. I didn't add to it. And you know what? I had so many people come up to me after the sermon and say, "That's the most powerful sermon you've ever preached." Now, how awesome is that? It's so awesome, I'm gonna blow your ears out. It's awesome. Right? It wasn't because of my powerful words. It wasn't because I was funny or because I was clever or I came up with some like new thing in Scripture that just blew your mind and you're like, "Man, JT is awesome." I just preached God's Word straight without adding anything, nothing else. And a guy came up and gave his life because of that, because of me preaching God's Word. Spirit and truth coming together in power. That's the God that we worship. That's why this is so important. If you didn't listen to the sermon last week, go listen to it on the podcast if you weren't here. I mean this in the best way. I'm sorry that you missed it. I wish you would have been here. God moved. And again, it wasn't because I was clever. It's because God moved. And I don't know if you'll experience it in the same way on a podcast, but go to freshwatersgf.com. Freshwatersgf.com and listen to it. It was incredible. God moved in our hearts. And man, that's what we talked about. Man, the Word of God was enough last week. It was enough. It's all we needed. So we have to get in God's Word and not just study it, and we do need to study it, but spend time with God in His Word. Like, meditate on it. Like, marinate on it. Think about, like, "God, what are You saying to me? What does it say about my life? What does it say about You? What are You promising me? How do I need to change? How do I need to move forward? How do I need to share this with a friend?" We just sit in His Word and we think on these things. And if you're trying to, you don't actually know how to do that, again, go listen to the podcast. And then if you still don't understand, come find me. We'll find someone to disciple you and walk through it. We're doing it in men's discipleship right now. And women's discipleship meets too. Okay. That's how we change. So this week, that's enough of the recap. So this week, God has done what He's done every single week so far in this series. I've made my plans. I've had my verses planned out. I've had my kind of talking points, and then in the middle of the week, He's changed it. That's happened every single sermon. It's like completely throughout everything I was going to do, and God said, "No, this is what my people need to hear. This is what you need to do. Go do this." But okay, I think I'm going to do that. And you know what? I pray that we're always a church that has our plans interrupted and changed because God's moving in power. Amen to that? Change our plans. Do something differently. So this week, we're talking about prayer. How we need to worship God in and through prayer in the everyday rhythm of our lives. And like I said, I had the verses planned out. I knew what I was going to do. I knew what I was going to preach. I had it outlined. And then Tuesday happened. So I've said this before, but there's a lot of new people in here. I don't actually really know exactly how to do this pastor thing a lot of times. I don't know if that scares anybody, but like, I didn't grow up wanting to be a pastor. Yeah, like I just talked to a guy the other day, man. You know, I got saved when I was 8, and I felt called to be a pastor when I was 10. And he's a pastor now. And that's awesome. And that wasn't me. Right? I didn't grow up around pastors. I grew up in kind of in the church fairly consistently, but kind of in and out later in life. And so, like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do in a lot of situations. And I'm always afraid I'm going to get myself in trouble because I say things that I probably shouldn't say, especially in my life group. I say things in my life group that some pastors would probably pass out if they knew that I said it, right? I'm just really honest because, you know, I just want to be honest. We're all broken and we all need Jesus. And because I'm a pastor, I'm not any different, right? And so some pastors might say, "No, you need to be the strong leader up front, right? You need to put on the strong front and be strong for everybody else. And they need to know that they can come to you and that you're the rock." And I get that. Like, generals lead that way, don't they? And even in difficult situations, they lead from the front. But here's the truth. Sometimes I just don't feel strong. Sometimes I feel broken. And there's sometimes, man, I need your guys' prayers. I mean, every single one of you, I need you praying for me. I pray for you. And I, you know what? Because of my pride, I'm much more comfortable saying I'm praying for all of you. And I am. It's actually hard for me to say, I need you to pray for me. But I desperately need you to pray for me. You know, I have felt as strong in the Lord in the last month that I've got maybe ever. I think you've heard me say this before, but you heard me say it earlier, but like on this series so far, but I just feel like I've been hearing from the Lord on what we're supposed to preach, what we're supposed to be doing, right? I felt spirit-filled. I felt strong against sin, like all the battles. We all fight our battles against sin, right? Whatever sin tends to own us, I felt strong against those things. My prayer life has been rich. My time in the Word has just been really fulfilling, and I feel the presence of God, and He's stirring and moving my life. And I'm not just talking about when I'm preaching. I'm talking about when I'm in the Word for me, right? I've felt strong. Even like my time, like my rest with my family, like my Sabbath time, hasn't just been time off. It has been like fulfilling and good and life-giving, and I've been praising God for it. And then on Tuesday, like out of nowhere, I felt completely and utterly and totally overwhelmed. I mean, like it just fell on me. I fully believe now that like looking back on it, I was just under spiritual attack because God hates me. I'm not God. God loves me. Sorry, my bad. Because, man, here's the truth. Satan hates me. Our enemy hates you. He hates me, and he hates what's happening at this church. Man, we got to put all the things that I say together. I talk so fast. I say things sometimes. Last week I said, I love my wife as much as all of you love my wife. Did anybody hear that last week? Well, I said, I love my wife as much as any man loves his wife. Stay away from my wife. All right, we got to, Cornelius, you got to like piece all these things together. God hates me. All right, but anyway, no, but honestly, taking a serious moment, but like I was completely overwhelmed. Like I felt like I was being crushed. I felt like I was being attacked. And like the scary thing is, again, it came out of nowhere. I was strong. I've been feeling good. I prayed that morning, right? I did the good thing. I prayed that morning. I listened to God's word that morning. I was driving, listening to God's word just because I wanted to, not for you guys, just because I wanted to. And still, about midday, I just felt like I was being crushed. Now, if you guys know me, like there's a lot of new people in here. I don't think anybody that's been here for any time would argue with me or think any different than that I love being your pastor. I love this church, which besides my relationship with Christ, and my family, that there's no bigger joy in my life. I think I mean this. You know, you never know until it happens, but I think I mean this. If I actually would have played that $1.5 billion lottery and then won, I'd have been here next Sunday preaching, and I wouldn't have left. I wouldn't have gone anywhere. I would quit my job, for sure. For sure I'd quit my job. But like, I could do anything in the world, and I want to be here. This is where I want to be. Like, they could offer me the biggest, most prestigious church in Missouri. That wouldn't happen. But if they did that, unless God wrote it in the lightning, go to that church, right? I wouldn't go. I'd stay right here because this is where I want to be. My heart is fully given to Freshwater. But on Tuesday, man, just the weight of bearing the burden of all of your souls before God, and the weight, the fact that I can't be the pastor for you that I want to be, that I feel like some of you need. I talked with Denny about this, and I put it in the email. Some of you need me to be more of a pastor, not just a preacher. But I don't have time. I don't have the time in my life for it like I want to. And just the weight of running this church and casting the vision and leading us where God is going, man, and then balancing that with the fact that I have a full-time job and a small family that's involved in lots of stuff. Like, on that day, I just didn't want all of that anymore. Does that make any sense to you? Like, on Tuesday, I just didn't want it. I didn't want to quit. I don't hear that. I didn't want to quit. But I was just tired of carrying the weight because I was overwhelmed. Have you ever been there in life where you're just tired of carrying the weight of life and you just want to be free from it for a moment? I understand addiction. I get it. So I can just run to addiction for a moment just to be free of all the weight just for that moment. I get it. So I emailed the elders and I texted my wife and I just said, I need you to pray for me today. Like, I'm in a bad place today, and I don't know why. Isn't that how it is in life sometimes? Sometimes you know why. Sometimes you can't put your finger on it. You can't explain why things happen the way they happen or the way you feel, but on that day, that's how I felt. So I emailed and texted them and said, I just feel broken today. And honestly, I just kind of felt like I was coming undone. Like, it was that bad. And if you know me at all, like, I'm not a guy that gets stressed very much. I don't get anxious very much. That's just not how God built me. But on that day, like, maybe it's because I don't know how to deal with it because that's not who I am. I just felt like I was finished. There was just like this sorrow in me that I couldn't explain. I couldn't put my finger on. Guys, this is why last week I said it's so important to have God's word implanted in your hearts. Because in that moment, I didn't run from God like I could have. I ran to him, and I prayed in my brokenness, and I felt broke. I can't even explain it today. Like, I don't know if you can get it. I just felt. And in that moment, he put a passage of scripture on my heart that I hadn't read for a long time. And that's why I know it's from him. Like, way longer than I should have, because it's so good. He put a passage of scripture on my heart, and I began to read it. If you haven't yet, open your Bibles to Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, what we're going to read is maybe the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus talking to his disciples and a huge crowd that had gathered to listen to him preach because they'd never heard someone teach like Jesus taught. So read with me in verse 1, Matthew 5. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you know what that really means? It's those who recognize that they need help. Those that have accepted that they don't have it all together, that they can't do it on their own, and are willing to embrace their weakness before the Lord. Those are the ones who are going to experience the kingdom of God. Those are the ones that are going to feel it breaking through now and get a little taste of heaven now. Those are the ones that are going to be truly blessed, not the strong, not the awesome, not the incredibly gifted. It's the ones that are broken before the Lord and know that they need him. The poor in spirit. It's what unites all of us as Christians. Rich or poor, black or white, we're all united because we are poor. We are impoverished in our spirit before the Lord. And it's not just that's just true. But it's the ones who recognize that, who are actually poor in spirit that come before the Lord. It says, blessed are those who mourn. Because God is near the suffering. You see it over and over in Scripture. He's near the suffering. He is near the brokenhearted. It says this in John 16:20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Because Jesus knows your mourning and your sorrow, and he's near. And he's going to turn that mourning into joy, like an eternal weight of glory in your life. He's building into you through those sorrows and through those hard times. And he's going to make it all joy in the end. Blessed are those who are mourned because they're the ones that are going to see the kingdom of God. And then finally, blessed are the meek. And when it says meek, it doesn't mean just those that are gentle, but those who don't insist on their own way, those who don't think they have it all together, those that are willing to submit to God and to his rule on their life. And not just in words, but literally go to God and submit to him and say, my life is yours. I don't know what my life's supposed to be, but you do, and I'm submitting to whatever you ask me to do. And for some of us, that terrifies us. What if God asked me to do this, to give up this, to go to this place, to become a church planter? Man, it terrifies you. But how messed up is that, that it terrifies us? I've been there. Blessed are the meek that let go of that tight control in their life. And whether that be your job or your money or your education or your family or whatever that is in your life, that let go of that control and trust God to take them further than they could ever have gone on their own. It's going to God fully aware of your desperate, almost childlike need for him. Going to him like a child in need. So we're talking about prayer this week, right? I keep saying that. And you know what? There are tons of passages on prayer. Talk about prayer, that teach us about prayer. You know what's crazy is this Sermon on the Mount. One of the main reasons he's talking about blessed are these people, because later it leads into Jesus teaching us how to pray, right? So why am I teaching on this? Well, on Tuesday, I mean, I just had it clearly revealed to me that I have more right now than I can handle. And I felt in that moment like I was drowning. And I can't even explain why. I just did. And I know some of you guys have been there before. And it may not look like it looked for me. Right, for you, it might be because of suffering in your life, or it might be because like this unknown thing in the future that you're worried about, or it might be because of sin, or it could be because of any other kind of brokenness, anything else. I don't know what it is, but in my weakness on Tuesday, it could have been easily. I could have easily run from God, and I found ways to run from God, just to be away from the weight, to be away from it. But on that day, thank God, I ran to him. I ran to him in my brokenness, and I just prayed, and I cried out to him. In that moment of honesty before God, through my prayers, he led me to the truth. And this is the truth that he led me to. That being in over my head, having more than I can handle, being insufficient and being weak to get done, being too weak to get done what needs to get done here, that is exactly the place that I need to be. I need to be further out on the limb than my weight can bear. Right? I need to be out there further. That's the place for me to be, a place that I need God to intercede for me. I need God to be there. I need him to be real. I need his relationship. I need his blessing. I need his guidance for me to get accomplished what he has me to accomplish. That is the place that I truly learn that God is in control of this thing. It's the place that I understand his joy and his presence, right? Because I'm not leaning on me to make it happen. I'm leaning on him, and he gives me his joy. And most importantly, it's the place where I really, truly understand how much he loves me. Because if I can go to him and when I'm broken like that, when I'm not even believing his promises, man, you learn how much God really loves you. His deep love for broken people who know they're not enough and need a savior and need God to redeem them, to rescue them, to save them, to be powerful for them, to be faithful for them. Tuesday's grief and the weakness and the insufficiency drove me into the presence of my Savior through prayer. And you know what? I found him there. I found him there. I found his strength there. I found his power there. I found his faithfulness there. And the Holy Spirit, man, just overwhelmed me with God's presence. And I'm telling you, on Tuesday, I was a changed man. Like something inside me changed that day. And you know what? After I spent time in prayer, I spent a lot of time. I went to my car over lunch and sat in my car by myself and just cried out to God. That's what I did over lunch. And then when I drove to the next place I had to go, I listened to the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, over and over and over, and just prayed. Prayed and listened to the word, and prayed and listened to the word over and over and over, and God's presence fell. And I, you know what? After that, I went from like, I felt like I was coming undone to later in that afternoon, a couple hours later, I was fine. I was okay. Now, it doesn't always work that way, right? We don't always get over it like that. Like, I still felt a little bit off, but I was okay. Like, God restored me, and he was so real in that moment. And so, church, if you really want to understand, like, the details of prayer, like, what the Bible says about prayer, and to get answers on things like prayer, like why do we need to pray if God knows everything? Have you ever thought that? Or does our prayer really change anything? If God's got a plan, does prayer really change anything? You know what? In May, we did a three-week sermon series on prayer. 3 whole weeks. And I preached long, right? 3 whole weeks on just prayer. If you want to understand a lot of those questions and go deeper into what the Bible says about prayer, go back and listen to that series. Again, freshwatersgf.com, and you can walk through it. But the truth is, prayer really isn't about any of those things. I'm not saying they're not important to get those answers and to understand, but prayer is not about those things. Prayer is about our relationship with our Creator. That's what it's about. That's not how we treat prayer for most of us, but that's what it's about. It's about Jesus dying on the cross, giving us his holiness so that we can personally and intimately have a relationship with our Father in heaven and be fully accepted in his presence. And I know for some of you that throws you off because you did not have good fathers. But don't think about your father. Think about, man, the father that you think you should have had or that you deserved or that you wanted or the kind of father or mother that you want to be. That kind of relationship, man, that is who God is to us. And that's where his presence is found, approaching him like that. It's about coming into God's presence in humility, in submission, poor in spirit, meek in brokenness before him and crying out. You know what you cry out? It's one of the main cries of prayer. Help. Help. You go to God with an attitude of help. Help me bring you glory. That's what it's really all about in the long run, right? Bringing God the glory that he deserves. You don't know how to bring God the glory that he deserves, do you? Me either. I need God's help so I can bring him the glory that he deserves. I need his help to make Christ's name renowned. Help me to believe that I'm your child. Help me to believe your promises. Help me to deal with this suffering and this anguish. Help, God, help those that I love. Take care of them. Help them. Help me love people. I don't love people enough. God, help me love you. Help me to long for your presence because most of us don't long for God's presence. Pray for help in that. God, help me to do more than I ever could have possibly done alone. Help me to go out further than I could possibly go and to be okay with that and to let go of control so I can go out further on that limb that I ever could have gone without you. Help me to get there. I'm not ready right now, God, but help me to go. God, help. You know, a person that's in like a terribly hopeless situation, like no hope of survival, like, drowning and know they're going to drown without somebody help. Does that person like worry about their pride in that moment? They're like, well, I don't want anybody to know that I'm drowning. I don't want anybody to know that I'm sinking in quicksand. So do they just go under and stay real quiet because they're worried about what people are going to think? No, they cry out, help, rescue me, come and get me, because you're helpless in that moment. We need to be helpless more so we realize how badly we need our Savior, how desperate we are for him. Because if we're broken before him, if we're poor in spirit, man, we will cry out for help without shame, without guilt, without pride, and man, God is found there. Church, I've taken on more with this church than I can accomplish alone, and praise God for that. Our church has taken on more than we can possibly handle with just a few of these people in the room than we can possibly do, and praise God for that. It's where our true strength is found because it's where our true relationship with Christ is found. Guys, we need to look at prayer differently. We treat prayer like we treat working out. Do I even have to explain that? You know it's true, don't you? You go work out. Everybody knows that we should exercise. Does anyone want to say that they don't believe that we should exercise? I'm not saying we got to go to Planet Fitness. That place is a disaster. But we ought to go. We need to exercise somehow. That's right, Matt. I got your back, Matt. Right? We need to exercise our body. We need to have strong minds and strong bodies. Strong spirit, strong mind, strong body. Did I get it right, Jake? I'm close, right? We need to have strong bodies. Everybody knows it. But those of us that do work out, for most of us, not everybody, but for most of us, we just do it when we have time. I got to work, and I got to take care of my kids, and I got to go here, and I got to go there, and I got to take care of this. And then if I've got time left over, man, I'm going to make time to work out, except for in January. I'm going to go every day for the first 12 days in January, and then it's going to be when I have time the rest of the year, right? Guys, that's how we treat prayer. When we need to be treating prayer like oxygen. Like we cannot survive without talking to God, coming before him, trying to build an intimate relationship with God and understanding what that means. Man, we need to treat it like oxygen, but we treat it like working out. That's got to change. It's got to change. Church, if we can pray like that, like we are in desperate need of his presence and strength, and we can combine that with the power of his word and plant it in our hearts, church, like I said last week, there's no stopping us. If we have people in this room fall in love with the Bible and fall in love with prayer, prayer like this, intimate relationship with God, I need help kind of prayer, there's no stopping what God's going to do. Because God's already answering prayers. As soon as we started this church, we're like, God, do something amazing in the northwest side of Springfield. That was our prayer from like 3.5 years ago when we first started thinking of planting this church. God, do something amazing in the northwest side of Springfield. Did you hear what Denny had to say? It's already happening. God's already putting in a line. We're out further on the limb than we already go. If we love God's word and we love prayer and we love being in his presence, they can't stop us. God's already moving. Guys, listen. When I'm spiritually strong, right? When you're not spiritually strong, everything falls to the wayside, doesn't it? I'm the same way. If I'm in a valley, these things are hard for me. But when I'm spiritually strong, prayer is not something that I do during a quiet time for 15 minutes in the morning. Now, I need that too, right? But that's not prayer. A lot of us think that that's what's prayer. We need to pray. Well, man, we got to have a quiet time. That's what prayer is. And then we got to pray before meals. And if you're like a superhero parent, you pray with your kids every night before bed, right? That's what prayer is. Guys, what prayer should be is when you're at work or at school or wherever you are, and you think of somebody that's in need, you pray. For you moms, that might mean praying while you're changing a diaper, or praying while you're in class taking notes, or praying when you're at work. It doesn't mean go and find some prayer closet, some quiet place to be alone. You just pray right then. Somebody needs prayer, you pray. And again, we need time that is quiet, that is separate, so we can just focus on God and hear from him. That's vitally important. But we also need just to pray as we go, like we're in our relationship with God, right? If you get angry, pray. If you feel tempted, pray. If you're just really thankful for something that happened, thank God and pray. If you feel overwhelmed, pray. When you get in the Word, pray. When something stirs your affections for Christ, do you know what you should do? Anybody caught on? Yeah, pray. You know, and the beautiful thing that happens when you start praying like that and it becomes a natural part of your life and you start getting into God's word, you start getting God's word a lot and it's implanted in your heart, you'll start praying God's words to him. You know, that's one of the most powerful things we can do. You know, there's a lot of people in this room that get stressed and anxious, right? Get a little overwhelmed sometimes. Right? Do you know how much it would change your life if you were like, God, you tell me not to be anxious about anything, but in prayer with thanksgiving to come to you. And if I come to you in thanksgiving, that you'll give me a peace that surpasses all understanding, and then you'll guard my heart and my mind in Jesus, right? But God, I don't believe that. God, I don't have this peace. I don't understand what it is to have this peace. So God, give me your peace. You're promising me right here, God, that you'll help me with my stress and my anxiousness because Jesus Christ is enough for me, and he'll guard my heart, and he'll guard my mind. God, help me to understand this peace that surpasses any understanding. God, I want that peace. Pray it over and over and over. God is promising you this. Say, God, this is your promise. Make it true in my life, because God does not break his promises. You break his promises. I break his promises. He doesn't. So what if your life became like that? If you struggle with anxiousness, you pray that. You had verses for temptation or whatever else in your life that were implanted in your heart that you ran to again and again and again, and you stopped trusting how you feel. In that moment, I felt like I was done being your pastor. I was just not good enough. I was done. I was tired of carrying the weight. And it was a lie from the enemy. I was not done. Do I sound like I'm done today? But I felt done that day, and it was a lie. And God's word brought me back. Prayer brought me back, and it restored me. And I feel like I'm more of a godly man than I was the day before. And isn't that what we're going after? Christian, don't long to be super Christian. Long to be one step ahead of where you were yesterday. You can't do more than that. Stop looking at Christians in the church and be like, why can't I be there? And when you can't be that person, feeling terrible about yourself, just figure out what your one step is. Figure out your step and just take a step and bring people along. Tell your life group, man, have your life group pray with you. Have your friends and family pray with you. Like, this is where I'm trying to go. I'm trying to deal with anxiousness right now. I'm a stressed out person, but God promises me peace, but I don't know how to find it. Will you pray with me? It'll change your life. One step at a time through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just want to be honest with you. Consistent prayer for some of you that have not had it in your life is going to feel weird at first. It'll feel awkward. And that's okay. Right? It's like a friend that you haven't seen in 10 years. Yeah, you guys... 10 years ago, some of you were like 14, so that doesn't really work, does it? But it's like, okay, it's like a friend you haven't seen in 3 years. And they come back to see you. And right, when you first start talking, some of those people you just have this automatic natural connection with. It's like you never picked up. But that's not how it is with most people. Like, we all have that one or two person, like, bam, you're running full speed. But for most people, like, that person that you knew pretty well, they come back and it's kind of awkward, isn't it? You're trying to make small talk and like, what do you do now? I do this. Oh, cool. You got a family? No. What do you do for fun? Not, I just work. Cool. You want to go get a sweet tea at McAllister's? Anyway, so it's kind of like that. But if you spend time with them, if you spend the rest of the day with them, a few more days with them, you spend a week with them, that's going to change, isn't it? That awkwardness is going to fall away. You're going to start talking about real things, things that matter, things that are going on in your life, and it'll get deeper and deeper and deeper. And if you have a connection with that person especially, man, it'll go really deep. It'll go really far if you can just open up and let it happen. It's the same with Jesus Christ, except he's the best friend that you could ever have. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it's absolutely true. There is no waiting for him, trying to figure out if he's a good friend that you have a connection with. You have an eternal connection with him. The only connection that really matters for an eternity, spend time with him. I'm telling you, start praying in the everyday rhythm of your life. Write it down somewhere. Put reminders on your phone. Like every other hour during the day, find something to pray about. To be, you know what? I would start with find something to be thankful about. If we could just start virtually every prayer with God, I am thankful for who you are first. Start with God, not with things, not with stuff. Start with God. And then thank him for just something going on in your life. Just start with thankfulness. It'll change your prayer life. It'll change you. Right? Like I said, I could have walked down through the Lord's Prayer, and that's a good thing. But Jesus wasn't even saying, pray the Lord's Prayer. That's not what he was saying. He's saying, pray like this. Let me give you an example of what it's like to have a relationship with God. That was the point. What we really need to do is come to God in brokenness, understanding that we are saved only by the free gift through Jesus Christ. That we need him, that we're broken before him, that we have no control over our lives, and that we want to submit to whatever he has for us. It will change who you are. God, if we approach God poor in spirit, humble, and meek, you'll be blown away by the intimacy that will come with your Heavenly Father. It will come if you're committed to it, if you stay with it, and you try to worship God in spirit and truth with the word combined with that in prayer. So much so, it'll get to the point that you will literally feel like Jesus is guiding your steps. That's where this thing goes. The last 3 weeks, Jesus has been guiding my steps up here. Jimmy, people I've had in the last 3 weeks say, it felt like you preached that for me. Do you know why? I wasn't thinking about anybody when I did those sermons. It's because the Holy Spirit's at work, and he is talking to you. Because he's directing the steps of our church right now. Church, just wait till your prayer life is strong. You have no idea of the joy of the Lord. It's found there. Pray like it's oxygen to your Christian soul, and it'll change you, and it'll change our church.